right, and what we're celebrating today, that Jesus, the Creator himself, came and died for our sins. Every single last one. That's what we celebrated on Good Friday. And that when he died, everything that happens to a dead body happened to him. It means he went cold, his blood congealed. Everything that happens to a corpse happened to Jesus' corpse. He was all the way to 10 dead. And on the third day, he was resurrected. That his body was transformed, raised physically, but transformed. This gives us eternal hope. This gives us hope that though we may die, death will not win, because one day our bodies will be raised physically, that we will be reunited with transformed bodies, because what happened to Jesus will happen to us. We're celebrating eternal hope today. We're also celebrating hope for this life. If I can show you a picture of what we believe happened last week, or a picture of what was happening last week when we did the baptisms, we said baptism is a picture of dying with Christ, being buried with Christ, and being raised with Christ. That we die to our old sins and our old self, and we are raised to newness of life. So it's kind of like there's the us that is before, the dead in our sins us, and the raised to newness of life us. There's the before and there is the after. We're celebrating eternal hope. We're also celebrating the fact that God gives us formerlies. That God gives us a before and after story now. That's what we're talking about today. The before and after story now. Dead in our sins, raised to newness of life. Before, after. If you have your Bibles with me, you can open them. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open them with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. On Sunday mornings here, we're working our way through 1 Timothy. And we meet this text where the Apostle Paul, and we'll talk more about who that is, writes this. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus, our Lord. The star of this story is Jesus. Jesus is the main actor. Jesus is the one that the Apostle Paul will talk about with active language. The one who acts on Paul. Excuse me. So he says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus, our Lord. So when Paul is thinking of his before and after story, he's thinking of what Jesus did for him, and he writes this, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. For those of you who aren't sure or don't know yet who the Apostle Paul is, he was a guy who was hyper religious. Think of the most religious person you know. They've got nothing on Paul. Paul lived and breathed, ate and drank his religion, which was Judaism. And he thought Christianity, namely the people who were following Jesus, were a cancer growing on Judaism that had to be removed. And so he did, this is what he talks about here. He blasphemed Jesus. He talked about how Jesus was a cancer in Judaism that had to be removed. So when he's thinking about all the reasons, it's amazing that he was appointed to Christ's service. He'd say, number one, if I'm thinking of reasons I shouldn't be able to be the apostle, number one, the things I've said. Why don't you say that with me? Things I've said. Go ahead. Ready? Things I've said. Things I've said. These are a lot of reasons I should not be in the place I am. Things I've said. He also talks about things he's done as a persecutor. People he's hurt. People Jesus loved. People Jesus loves still. He talks about how he threw them in prison. We'll see how later how he's violently oppressive to them. I mean, imagine if you're looking for someone to represent you, like Jesus was asking Paul to represent him. Would you talk about someone? Would you ask someone to represent you who had been blaspheming you, saying all kinds of terrible things about you? No, you wouldn't. Would you pick someone who is hurting your loved ones? When Paul is looking at reasons he should not have been appointed to this service, one of the reasons is things he said. Another one is things he's done. Why don't you say that with me? Things he's done. And the final one is the kind of person he was. He says, I was an insolent opponent. But Jesus was well aware of all of these reasons that Paul should not represent him. But the good news is, Jesus looked at all of that and appointed him to his service, because Jesus looks past all our sins to see what he can make us, to see what we can become in his strength. Jesus takes these reasons that the apostle Paul would have that would be disqualifying, all the reasons he should not be an apostle, and Jesus takes those and says, here's what I think of your reasons for not being an apostle. Jesus looks past all of it. He did for Paul, and he will for you. When the Apostle Paul is talking about his before and after story, when he was dead in his sins, he'll talk about how Jesus judged him faithful, how Jesus looked past all of his sins in spite of the things he'd said, in spite of the things he'd done, in spite of who he was. Jesus looks past all of it. Then he goes on, but I received mercy. I received mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is compassion plus action. So if you see a child that you love walking around with a dirty diaper, and you say, oh man, that must be a bummer, that's compassion. If you just continue sitting there and feeling bad, man, I bet they're developing diaper rash. That's compassion. Everyone else can smell that. I kind of feel bad for them too. And it's been 3 hours, and the kid's diaper rash is getting worse and worse and worse. That's compassion, because you feel really, really bad for this kid and everyone else in the room. It's action when you get up and change the dirty diaper. Those combined, compassion plus action, equal mercy. So Paul says, I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Paul's like, look, if you get nothing else, if you remember nothing else, remember this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the biggest and the smelliest, the foremost, the worst. When the Apostle Paul is telling his before and after story. He's like, if anybody was dead in their sins, I was dead in my sins. I was the most dead in my sins. But I received mercy. God looked down on me in spite of the things I said, in spite of the things I did, in spite of the kind of person I was, an insolent opponent or a raging jerk. And he looked down and he had mercy on me in spite of how I was persecuting his loved ones. Because that's who he is. That's what he's like. He comes, and this is really technical. This is going to be like the Greek, and it's going to be really confusing. He comes to save really big sinners. Really, really big sinners. And when you think of like really, really big sinners, when you think of like the foremost sinner, or the chief sinner, or the biggest and the smelliest, the worst sinner, who do you think of, or what do you think of? I bet some of you might think of maybe like a militantly atheist college professor who helps kids lose their faith year after year after year after year. Some of you might think of like an angry abuser, someone who's beating up on someone smaller than them. Some of you might think of a perverted predator who preys on people smaller than them and weaker than them. Who do you think of when you think of the chief of sinners? Let me tell you, that's not what Paul was. Paul was no atheist. He was the most religious guy you've ever met. Paul did not, I mean, he had in his mind what was very righteous anger, holy wrath. In his mind, all his anger was totally justified and right where it was supposed to be. He was no perverted predator. I mean, he was the most moral guy you've ever met. He was high and haughty moral, maybe. But he was moral. But see, Jesus came to save good sinners, and he came to save bad sinners. He came to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul, when he looks back on his life, he's going, oh, I can't believe the stuff I said. I can't believe the stuff I did. I can't believe the insolent jerk that I was. But it's such good news that Jesus came to save really big sinners like me. You identify with that at all? When we think about before and after, dead to sins, alive to Christ. This is biographical for Paul when he writes about that in Romans 6 or Ephesians 2 or Colossians 2, Philippians 3:10. It's biographical. He knows what it is to be dead in his sins and made alive to Christ Jesus through the power of the resurrection. In spite of all the reasons he shouldn't have been appointed, he knew that God looked past all of that and called him. In spite of all of his sins, he knew that Jesus ripped those up and tore them up and just is done with those. And maybe the best news is that he goes on, but I received mercy. Now, I didn't just repeat myself. The Apostle Paul has that in there twice. But I received mercy. And remember our definition of mercy, compassion plus action. What did Pastor preach about today? Well, he preached about changing diapers, I think. Something. Well, you get the idea that God didn't just look down on us and say, man, that's messed up. That really stinks. I bet that's painful for everyone. But he came himself. Remember, this is a trustworthy saying, deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. This mercy that he came to give us himself. Dying on the cross for our sins. Offering us newness of life. For this reason, this is why I received mercy. This is why I received the forgiveness of sins and resurrection to the newness of life. This is why Jesus showed me mercy. For this reason, that in me, the foremost, the biggest, and the smelliest of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Here's the thing, Paul's saying, I am God showing off his patience. I am an example of what God can do with really foul sinners. And see, this was good. Paul made a perfect example of God's grace because it showed really, really bad people God's patience. So he writes in Galatians chapter 1, you have heard of my former life. Remember the formerly we saw earlier? How formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. You've heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. So really, really bad people can look at the Apostle Paul and say, whoa, if God can be patient with him, I bet God can be patient with me. If God will look at that dude's sins, and they're as big as mine, and God will tear up his sins, having mercy on him, and God will nail his sins to the cross, then I bet he'd do that for me. Paul says he's an example for people who will believe. So they're supposed to look at Paul and say, if God can do that for them, I bet he'd do that for me. He's also an example for, use the air quotes here, good people. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age, among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. I mean, he'll say, if anybody could earn right standing with God apart from grace, it was Paul. He was more religious than anyone. He was better at keeping the rules than anyone. But he says, as an example to the really bad people, because they're like, well, I haven't done that. I haven't tried to destroy a church. Or the really good people, because they'd say, well, if he can't do it, I guess I can't do it. I need mercy if he needs mercy. He takes all of their sins, Jesus does, whether you're good sins or bad sins, and you know what he does with them? He nails them to the cross. And they are no more. And they are as far from you as the east is from the west. And he is an example of the forgiveness of sins that is offered to us in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, after really reflecting on just how good God's grace is, thinking about how God picked him to serve and represent him to the nations, in spite of the kind of person he was, in spite of the things he'd done, God picked him. And God had forgiven him all of his sins. And God had made an example of him that would really help other people believe. He just breaks out into praise. And he says, to the King of the ages. I mean, this is the King that picked Paul, that appointed Paul, that showed up for Paul when he is on his way to persecute more Christians and said, and this is my translation, and said to Paul, now you're on my team. And then he was on Jesus' team, just like that. This is the King who appoints people. And Paul says, thank you. Thank you to the King of all the ages, immortal. This is the King who in eternity past, before he created the heavens and the earth, had picked Paul. And who has picked you? Ephesians chapter 1. Before the foundations of the earth, he picked us. This is a King who is invisible, who is always with Paul. Always with him. I mean, when Jesus shows up to Paul and says to him, now you're on my team, He tells him, and I'm going to show you how much you're going to have to suffer for my sake. And suffer Paul did. Make no mistake. He talks about going hungry. He talks about being shipwrecked. He talks about being whipped. He talks about being beaten with rods. He talks about being betrayed. He talks about the daily pressure he faces when he thinks of taking care of all these churches. Suffer he did. But Jesus was with him. And he felt his presence. To the King of the ages who appointed me, immortal, who picked me before the foundations of the earth, invisible, who is always with me, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, Jesus deserves praise. He deserves praise. When we think about how he makes examples of people, and by that we don't mean punish people or destroy people, but shows the good he can do with really bad people, how he can change really good people. When we think of how he forgives all our sins, or how he looks past all the terrible things we've done and the kind of people we are, he deserves praise. So if I can leave three words with you, these are the three I'd leave. The first one is mercy. The Apostle Paul writes twice that he received mercy. Now that sounds really, really good if you know you're a sinner. If you know that your righteousness is not going to cut it, that sounds really, really good. But if you think you're doing just fine, if you think you don't need grace, then I don't think you're ready to receive mercy yet. What I'd invite you to do, if this is where you are and you're going, well, I guess, you know, if I had a terrible guilty conscience, I guess I'd need mercy, but I'm doing fine. What I'd invite you to do is go a full week without telling one shadow of a lie. What I invite you to do is keep God's moral law, and this would be stepping back, that was just one specific example, keep God's moral law perfectly for a week. C.S. Lewis writes that we're not ready to receive grace and salvation until we're convinced that we need it. And the best way to be convinced that you need it is to try really, really hard to be righteous. And when you fail, and fail you will be ready to receive mercy. And remember our definition of mercy, that God came into the world to save sinners, of whom you and I are chief. That he loved us so much, he bled and died for your sins and for mine. First word is mercy. Receive mercy. He is calling to you. Second word would be trust. That he's not calling you to a before and after story, dead to sins, alive to God, for you to try really hard in and of your own strength. I mean, think of the description, dead in our sins. Dead people don't come back to life by themselves. We're not raised to newness of life by trying really hard. We need to receive mercy, and we need to trust in God's resurrection power as he comes to meet us in our weakness and meet us in our sin and raises us to newness of life. Receive mercy, trust his strength, and then sing really, really loud as you praise the Lord. As you think about how good he is and how he has met us with resurrection power, with dying on the cross love, with his forgiveness. And I think this is the kind of people, you want to be. I think you want to be the kind of people that give God glory. I think you want to be the kind of people that are changed, that live beyond yourselves, out of resurrection power. And I think you want to be the kind of people that have received mercy, and so you go and you give mercy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you came yourself in the person of Jesus and died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day, giving us resurrection hope. Lord, for some who may feel like they're disqualified because of things they've said, thing they've done, or the kind of people they are, I pray that you would show them that you are bigger and better than all of their sin, that you are stronger than any grip that sin has on them, that you see past all of that to the kind of people you can make them. Lord, convince them of your love. Convince them of your power. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.